The 5th of December, eight games to go through. Herb Jones was back finally. We'll get some Herb Jones questions, I'm sure. This is the Balls Deep post-game show. Oh, not the Balls Deep. This is just the post-game show. Let's go Balls Deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. We're on YouTube, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere, anywhere. Please go and subscribe. And we're on the Old Man Squad, at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Dan Bespris is obviously running that. He is at Old Man Squad on Blue Sky and at Dan Bespris on Twitter. All right, let's get straight into the games, shall we? Eight of them tonight. Had a couple of blowouts, which obviously they impact the box scores a little bit and the fantasy value. But let's start with Denver and Cleveland. Cleveland get the win 126 to 114 for the Nuggets. Usual sort of story when they're healthy. Starters were decent enough. Christian Brown, not his best game, probably one of his poorer games actually. But he did have some defensive stuff, which made up for, a bit of a lethargic offensive game. 10 points he finished with, but two blocks and a steal. Jokic had his 130-something ninth triple-double or something, moves him into third all-time. So pretty impressive, but we're just used to that with Jokic at the moment. Aaron Gordon back up to 34 minutes, so looks like he's good to go, ready to roll. And basically everyone on the bench is just expendable at this point. Peyton Watson, we can move on. Look, Westbrook was okay in his 16 minutes. He had 10 points. He had a steal and a block, three assists, three rebounds. But 16 minutes is not enough for Westbrook to be a must roster player. And much the same can be said for Cleveland. Although we did get a good Caris LeVert game finally. But the starters were starting, were good. Evan Mobley, 20 and 9, three steals. Jared Allen, only 8 points, but he had 15 rebounds and a pair of steals. Garland and Mitchell both putting up solid numbers. Caris LeVert, 27 minutes, 21 points, six assists, a steal, five threes. So one of his better games. He's very borderline. If we got this every night, then absolutely. But the minutes were up here. He had been down at sort of 22 to 24. So feel free to just pick him up if he's available. But based on what we've seen, this might be a bit of an outlier. But we do know that he can do this. We've seen it in the past. Dallas and Washington, no surprise here. Dallas win 137 to 101. Washington are bad. This probably flattered them, to be honest. There were periods in the game where there was one who got the layup. I think Quentin Grimes got a layup. It wasn't a fast break. It was him with the ball, and there were three or four Washington defenders, and they basically just all stepped outside of the key and let him lay it up. It was pretty embarrassing. For the Mavericks, the minutes were down, obviously, for their starters. PJ Washington, only 24 minutes, 21 for Clay, 19 for Lively. Luka still played 32, so that's interesting. Maybe they were just trying to get him up to his triple-double, which he did get with 21, 10, and 10. Kyrie Irving, really good in this one as well, 25 points, three assists, two steals. As for those other starters, PJ Washington continues to be pretty good. He didn't shoot the ball too well here, but he still had 10, 7, and 2 with two blocks. Klay Thompson is just a three-point streamer for me at this point. I know he's probably still rostered in most leagues, but I don't think he is a must-roster player. And Derek Lively, 6 and 11 with a steal and a block. As I said, minutes were down. I wouldn't worry too much here if you do have Lively on your roster. In fact, games where he only has to play 20 minutes are probably a good thing in terms of his health. And then we had some minutes bump up for the bench. Quentin Grimes had 14 points, two steals and a block in his 25 minutes. Dinwiddie, only five shots. He hit four of them, didn't do much else. He has been on a bit of a hot streak here, but not someone I think we need to be prioritizing. And Daniel Gavin had 16 and 7 with two blocks in his 19 minutes, and that's enough for him to be rostered. So he should be rostered in 19 minutes. Grimes, Spencer Dinwiddie are probably in that range in terms of playing time, but do not need to be rostered. On the Washington side of things, we had a Marvin Bagley sighting. He started, had 16 and 8 with two steals. If he's going to start and play 25 minutes, he's worth considering because he's going to put up numbers. We know what he is. He's points and rebounds and nothing else generally. Bilal Coulibaly continues to be one of the worst shooters in the NBA, 0 of 10. 4 points. He did have three steals. That's why you're holding him for the defensive stats. But, I mean, look, I get it. If you want to move on, there are some good steal streamers available out there. Coulibaly is normally up in the mid-30s in minutes, though, which is it's hard to find a player who has that much upside in terms of playing time. So I would be holding if I could. Alex Saar started at center and had 11 and 8 with two blocks. He is a must-roster player. Jordan Poole, not his best game, 11 points, but he did have 8 assists and 2 steals. So getting it done elsewhere. Malcolm Brogdon had 16 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists in his 25 minutes, but left the game, surprise, surprise, with hamstring soreness. He has a history of soft tissue injuries, so I wouldn't be surprised if he misses a game. He did come back from that knee injury, which he suffered in the last game, didn't cause him to miss any time. So maybe that's the case here as well. But yeah, both he and him and Kyle Kuzma are just, I don't know, they don't seem to want to be there. It's pretty obvious. If Brogdon misses time, we also have Kyshawn George out. We also have Corey Kispert out. So Bub Carrington, I think, needs to be added here. 28 minutes for Bub, 15 points. His upside isn't super high, but if he's going to play 30-plus minutes, he should be rostered. And Valanciunas, only 13 minutes here, 9 and 5. I think he's still very borderline. The minutes were down here, sort of a result of the matchup and just that they're not really prioritizing him. But I think if until we get an indication that he is a sort of 12 to 15-minute player every night, I think we roster him until that point. Okay, Charlotte and New York. Look, Charlotte kept this competitive for a while, but New York blew them out in the second half. I think they won the third quarter 38 to 15 or something like that to flip this game on its head. Ended up winning 125 to 101. For the Hornets, we had Nick Richards starting again, only 24 minutes. So that's a little bit down from where he was in the last game. Again, the result likely impacted this because we got 16 Musa Diabate minutes and he basically just played the whole last quarter. So I wouldn't worry too much if I've got Nick Richards just yet. I still think he's going to be a 30-minute, 32-minute night, minute per night player. And Diabate, 4 and 3, we're not holding him anywhere, hopefully. Micic, who was pretty bad in that last game, he played 35 minutes here, had 14 and 12. So if you streamed him in for assists, you got 12 of those. He also hit 2 threes, missed his only free throw, but the assists are good. Salou exited the game with an injury, only played 2 minutes. So we got more of Cody Martin. And I think if Salou does miss time, and Miles Bridges doesn't return, then we get more Cody Martin. I wouldn't be prioritising him, but he can put up defensive stats from time to time. But he was a team worst minus 29 here, so not a priority. And, yeah, minutes were all over the place. KJ Simpson, we talked about him in the pregame show as a possible target if you just wanted to get some assists. He got 3 of them here, but failed to score in 17 minutes. So obviously he was good in that last game. He outplayed Micić, but Micić still quite clearly has the upper hand on that starting role and the bulk of the minutes, unless Simpson is just playing very well. Mark Williams, 11 minutes, so what, two, three more minutes than the last game. He had 6 and 5 with a steal. We're stashing him, rostering him, however we want to phrase it. I talked about this, I think, in the last show. I don't know what this is going to look like in a month, whether this is going to be a bit of a Jonathan Isaac situation where they limit Mark Williams at 20 minutes. If that's the case, then I think both he and Nick Richards could be rosterable rest of season. So we'll see. I think at the moment, Williams is more of a sort of a stash where Nick Richards is must roster and should be active. For the Knicks, OG Anunoby had a very, very nice game here, 25 points, 6 rebounds, 4 steals, 2 blocks. Those 2 blocks came in the space of about 6 seconds in one play. So that was impressive. Had the crowd going. OG chance, very nice. So he was good. He seems to have found some rhythm on the offensive end again, which is good after that slump that he went through. Look, all the starters were good here. You play Charlotte, you put up numbers. Miles McBride had 10 points, 6 assists off the bench. He is very borderline, I think, back end 12 team. He does just enough most nights. He hit all his free throws here. So doesn't turn the ball over. Precious Achiuwa returned, which meant Jericho Sims barely played. Achiuwa is not going to play enough here to have value. But if Towns misses time for any reason, Achiuwa would quickly become a must roster player. On to the next game, the Thunder and the Raptors. Another blowout here. The Thunder win by 37 points, 129-92. For the Thunder, they didn't have to extend themselves too much. Isaiah Hartenstein, 28 minutes, only 2 points, but 16 rebounds and a team best 6 assists with a steal and a block. Didn't hit a free throw, 0 of 2, so that hurts a little bit, but the other numbers there are really good. Jalen Williams, fine. Shea, fine. Isaiah Joe is hitting threes at the moment. So we roster him. Kayson Wallace is getting defensive stats, 2 steals, 4 blocks. Caruso returned, played 17 minutes. He had a steal and a block. I think if I had to pick between Kayson Wallace and Alex Caruso, I don't know, it's close. I might go Wallace slightly at the moment just because I think he is more likely to play minutes in the mid-20s where Caruso is probably closer to 20. But if Caruso can get some games under his belt, maybe that flips. Isaiah Joe is someone I'd be streaming in at the moment while he's hot. Lou Dort also had defensive stats. A lot of this was to do with the Raptors were just terrible. Lou Dort is fine, but I think I'd rather have Caruso or Wallace at this stage. And for the Raptors, RJ Barrett, look, he sort of got hot late to salvage this one. He hit all his free throws, which is, that's always a welcome surprise, 6 of 6. Finished with 17 points, 11 rebounds and a block. So not the worst line. Agbaji, 5 points, 2 assists, 22 minutes. It probably a drop, but if you want to just give him one more game to see whether this was a scoreline-related slump or whether he's just not going to, because he had been playing minutes in the 30s prior to this. So I'm going to give him one more game personally. Bruno Fernando started with Jakob Poeltl out. He had 4 points, 7 rebounds, 2 blocks, a steal. He can be a streamer if Poeltl misses time. But there's not much upside there. Grady Dick also returned and he had 15 points off as a starter. Sorry, he was back into the starting lineup. 2 steals, 4 threes. I think he should be rostered. The minutes will go up. And he, basically, they didn't run out their guys down the stretch. So Grady Dick might have played sort of 28 minutes here. And yeah, look, I mean, Jonathan Mobo, probably his best game of the season, arguably 17 points with a steal and a block. No, I'm not adding him. This was just a blowout. Chris Boucher, a bit of a nice opportunity here without without Pirtle, but he failed to make the most of it. 10 points on 3 of 13 shooting. Okay, on to the next one. The Suns go down to the Pelicans. So a good win for the Pelicans. We haven't been able to say that much this year. 126 to 104. For the Suns, they were, of course, without Kevin Durant and Yusuf Nurkic. So Royce O'Neal started in this one, along with Mason Plumlee. So we didn't get Iguodaro. We didn't what's his name? I can't even think. Ryan Dunn. Is it? Yeah, that's his name, isn't it? He was out. So Royce is the guy we want to look at here. 19 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. This is what he does. So I think he's probably someone we need to look at the moment. Mason Plumlee, only 4 points, but he had 10 rebounds, 3 assists and 2 blocks, which is exactly why you streamed him in. I think we just leave him in the lineups until Nurkic is back. Don't really need to talk about Booker or Beal too much. Grayson Allen had 13 points with 10 assists off the bench. He also gets that bump when Durant is out. Iguodaro, 20 minutes off the bench. I wouldn't be worried. I don't mind him as a player, but I wouldn't worry too much about him as a fantasy target right now. For the Pelicans, Ingram returned, Herb Jones returned, and both, well, Ingram, of course, would have been, but Herb Jones moved back into the starting lineup while Trey Murphy moved to the bench. Ingram looked good, 29 points, 2 steals, a block, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, so it's a case of him just staying healthy. There are a lot of Lakers trade rumors flying around at the moment for Brandon Ingram. So something to monitor, but nothing concrete yet. Herb Jones played 32 minutes, so he looks fine. I thought they'd ease him in a bit more than this, but an indication that he is well and truly over that shoulder injury. He had 12 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals and a block. So the defensive stuff, that's why you roster him. That's why you should be have him on your roster. The points will come and go. 5 assists are probably a little bit of an outlier, but certainly a must-roster player, as is Eves Misi. 25 minutes, 9 and 12. No blocks, but he's been good the last couple of weeks. I just did a write-up for him, actually. I think he's averaging, in the last 2 weeks, something like 14 and 10 with 1.5 blocks. So that is a clear 12-team guy. CJ McCollum, DeJounte Murray were both fine, but not spectacular. Trey Murphy moved back to the bench, as I said, 19 points. I don't mind him moving back to the bench. He's still going to play 30-plus minutes and actually should see the ball in his hands a bit more. So a move to the bench is not a bad thing if you're rostering Murphy. And Brandon Boston, look, this is probably a 12-team line. 11 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal and a block. But 17 minutes is not going to cut the mustard here, so we can probably move on from Brandon Boston. Oh, what happened there? Hang on, let me see what happened to my screen. Okay, I don't know what happened. Chicago and San Antonio. Chicago get the win in a high-scoring game, 139 to 124. There wasn't much defense. There was no Wemby in this one. But for the Bulls, no Kobe White, no Patrick Williams still. So we got Julian Phillips starting and doing very little. We don't need to worry about him. Ayo Dosunmu, career-first triple-double. So good to see. Hopefully people have held on to him. Pretty sure I've sort of said that he's very borderline, but if he's playing 30 minutes, we hold him, which he has been. He's obviously not going to do this. 27 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists, 3 steals, 9 of 13 from the field. So efficiency, not sustainable. He's not going to be a double-digit rebounder. He's good in terms of assists, but not to the point of 11. So probably his best game for the season. But yes, we just roster him at the moment. Nikola Vucevic continues his stellar season scoring-wise. The other numbers are fine, 8 rebounds, 5 assists and a steal. but 39 points on 16 of 22 shooting. Again, no Wemby, so this was a favourable matchup for Vooch. Buzelis, who I'd like to see getting more minutes, I thought he was pretty good in this one, 11 and 7 in 19 minutes, but he's not playing enough to warrant a roster spot. And yes, Chad, we will talk about Talen Horton-Tucker. He had 13 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, a steal and a block. Is he a must-add? I don't think so. But look, if you want to, sure. Let me just bring up his... all right, let's have a look at his... He's certainly sort of warranting some attention, I will say that. But to me, this production is just not sustainable in like 16 minutes that he's playing. Deeper leagues, yes. So he scored double digits in 6 straight games. Yeah, defensive stats, not really there. I mean, in those 6 games, he's got 3 steals and 3 blocks. So half a steal and half a block a game. Can I have a look? What have they got here for 6? Yeah, okay, so here we go. The last 2 weeks in those 6 games where he has scored double digits, he's the 121st ranked player in 16 and a half minutes a game, 14 points with 2 threes, but 1.8 rebounds, 2.3 assists, 0.5 steals, 0.5 blocks. Yeah, and if you look at his efficiency the last few years, last year he was under 40%, 42% the year before that, 41.5% the year before that. This year he's 55.5%. So I know players do increase their efficiency, but increasing it by 15% is tough. So if you want to go and grab him, I think you can, but it'll fall off at some point in a big way. So no, I don't think he's a must roster, but you can take a flyer. For the Spurs, no Wemby. So Jeremy Sochan got the start at centre here. A nice line. Obviously, Vooch just cooked him, but he had 16 and 14 with a steal, hit both his free throws, which was nice. So he is someone that obviously has to be rostered and back up at 36 minutes already. So that's very encouraging. Steph Castle, 12 and 6 with 2 steals. I don't know. I sort of hope, well, not sort of, I do hope that they leave him alongside Chris Paul and shift Harrison Barnes out of the starting lineup. Barnes had 8 points with nothing else in 20 minutes. I'd love to just see Vassell come in and play as that small forward. But I don't know if that's going to happen. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Vassell, I thought, was pretty good again tonight, 17 points with 4 steals in his 25 minutes. Keldon Johnson went off, 28 points. But this is really just a isolated, I think, stream, unless we get word that Wemby is going to miss time tomorrow, which I don't believe there's been an update yet from San Antonio. So keep an eye on that. If he does miss time, then Keldon Johnson gets a bump there. And Zach Collins also didn't start as we thought he might, but still had 23 minutes, 9 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, and a steal. So those numbers are fine. Charles Bassey, because Sochan was back, he only played 13 minutes as opposed to the sort of the 22-minute split that he was doing when Wemby missed those games with the ankle injury. So probably no reason to be chasing Bassey here, I don't think. Okay, Sacramento and Memphis. I do see the questions. We'll get to those as well. I'll just get through these games, though. For the King, well, we should say the result. Memphis get the win, 115 to 110. For the Sacramento Kings, Monk was still in the starting lineup and played very well again. We roster him. Keon Ellis played, but not really. He played 2 minutes, so I would not count this as being in the rotation. So no need to be holding on to Keon Ellis. 25 minutes for Kevin Huerter. That's probably enough to be considered, but he only had 6 points with nothing else didn't shoot the ball well. He's sort of someone I think you just take a flyer on and hope that you get him on a hot night. All of the starters need to be rostered. Keegan Murray, I've said this with, I think with Monk starting, Keegan is the fourth or even fifth option. He only had 11 points, but he did have 11 rebounds and two steals. So that sort of makes up for it. And in deeper leagues, I just keep an eye on Isaac Jones. So he has played, just had a look actually. Where is he? He's played something like at least 17 minutes in four straight games. So they've gone away from Alex Len and Orlando Robinson. As I wait for his box scores to come up, here we go, Isaac Jones. So the last five games, he's played at least 16 minutes. He's getting some rebounds. He's basically getting a block a game, scoring efficiently. So, yeah, I mean, in 20 minutes a night as the backup center, I do like him a lot more than I like someone like an Alex Len. So deeper leagues, I would just give Isaac Jones a bit of a look. For Memphis, Zach Edey. So it was announced today that Zach Edey is going to be out for another 2 weeks. I thought he was getting close, but I don't know whether there was a bit of a setback here or they were just fooling us that he's Memphis, so who knows. So Brandon Clark will presumably remain as the starter for the foreseeable future. But he is not worth rostering in most leagues. Desmond Bane, again, a pretty good game, better than what we've seen. 18 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal, 6 of 10 from the field. So he does look to be rounding into form. Ja Morant, not his best game, 8 and 7 in 28 minutes, and he was ejected as well. So minutes were down a bit. Here, Jalen Wells had 10 points in his 18 minutes. He is just a points streamer. And Santi Aldama, we just keep rolling with him, 15 and 10 with 3 steals. Marcus Smart had 18 points, 5 assists, 2 steals. As we've said, points come and go, but he has enough of a floor in terms of assists and steals to be rostered in most leagues. And we had a pretty good Jake LaRavia game, but he hasn't been that good the last few. Jay Huff also played 20 minutes. 11 points, 2 blocks. I don't think so. I don't think Brandon Clark, Jay Huff are both very, very borderline. And Scottie Pippen is obviously a drop. And the last game of the night, Houston and Golden State. So I was a couple of minutes late doing the show. I was waiting for it to finish. Golden State get the win, 99-93. It was an ugly game. I think the score, it was like 20 all or something at quarter time and set the tone for a pretty dour defensive struggle. For the Rockets, Jabari Smith, he had 3 blocks. If we want to look for positives, 5 and 7, played a lot of minutes. I think because Tari Eason was out, they just really had no one to play at that power forward position. Jabari Smith has been better than this, so maybe we give him a pass here. Şengün, the line was fine, 16 and 8, 5 assists, 2 steals, but it wasn't a good game. For Şengün, I didn't think. Van Fleet struggled from the field, 13 points, 5 assists. And Jalen Green, he Jalen Greened all over your percentages, or your field goal percentage anyway, 4 of 16 for 14 points. And Dylan Brooks shot too many times. He had 15 points with a steal. He's rostered in most 12-team leagues, I think. He shouldn't be, but he is. Amen Thompson, only 22 minutes. So the rotations were a bit weird. They went with their starters despite the fact they weren't sort of playing that well. Some interesting coaching decisions, I thought, in this one. Amen Thompson had 14 points with 8 rebounds and a block. I thought he looked okay out there, but they just went away from him. Reed Shepherd saw a few extra minutes. 13 minutes exactly with 7 points and 2 blocks. So we're not looking for him, obviously. Golden State. as I read the questions as I'm going through. For the Warriors, Jonathan Kuminga, career high 33 points. They had no Steph. They had no Draymond. So good win for the Warriors, bad loss for the Rockets. But Kuminga looked really good from the opening tip. He was very aggressive. Didn't do much else. 6 rebounds, a block. But the points are very nice. So if you've held him through all of the ups and downs, this is a reward. It doesn't guarantee that it'll happen again. But, just keep rolling him out there. Pajemski started only 8 points but had 12 rebounds, 3 assists. So not his best game, but again, 37 minutes, very encouraging. Buddy Hield started and was not good. 5 points on 1 of 8 shooting. He's pretty close to a drop. I don't know if we're there yet, but I don't know how long I can keep saying that he's not a drop. So maybe he is. Andrew Wiggins was good, 23 points, only 4 of 7 from the line, but he had some defensive stats. He had 9 rebounds. And then the bench guys were all just benchy. This is what the Warriors have done all year. They just play all of their fringe guys 20-ish minutes. Moses Moody played 23, Trace Jackson 21, Gary Payton 18. So Steve Kerr is just very happy going with mixing and matching and whoever is a good matchup, which makes it very hard for fantasy. And that's it for the game. I'm pretty sure that is it for the games. We did that one, didn't we? So let's get to the questions very quickly. All right, what's Ivan asking? Who do we view more as... who would we have higher in a 12-team dynasty points league? Devin Vassell or Emmanuel Quickly? I just don't do enough points leagues or dynasty leagues to know that one. In a points league, maybe it's Vassell. Maybe it's Quickly. I don't know. We haven't seen much of Quickly this season. We had pretty high hopes for him, obviously. I think if we were looking at if we're looking at a category league, I like Vassell because I think he's a bit younger. Is that right? Let me have a look at their ages. Oh, he's about a year younger, so not a massive difference. So category league, I like Vassell slightly. Points league, it might be Quickly. Claxton or Amen? Ooh, 18, 9 cat. A little bit stat dependent, I suppose, because Claxton is very rebounds, blocks. That's it. I still like Amen, but I guess Claxton's role is probably a little bit safer at this point, just because he's starting. Hasn't been great. So I guess Claxton's probably, a 10-10 with 1.5 to 2 blocks per game. Amen does a bit more across the board. So it's probably, I don't know. I'm going to go with Amen just because I think Claxton at some point will probably be shut down or injured or something. Lone Dez, it's so hard for me to hold on to Valanciunas. Should I just drop him for someone like Misic? Well, they're very different. Do you need rebounds or do you need assists? That is probably the deciding factor there. Valanciunas, I think best case scenario is he plays 18 to 20 minutes, as we've said, and he is a double-double with not much defensive stats. So like 11 and 9, 12 and 10, with maybe a block here and there. He is a good free throw shooter for a big, which helps. Misic, though, is, at least for the next couple of weeks, he's probably going to be 30-ish minutes most nights. And as we saw tonight, he can get you assists, which are typically a little bit harder to stream than rebounds. So Chad came in late. Who is the ad here if Tijan is injured? I think it's Cody, just for the fact that he's a floor spacer. Musa did play more minutes, but we talked about him. I think this was just, it was a blowout, and so they left him on. So Cody Martin would be the guy for me. Yes, we did have a Bol Bol sighting. Rare. And then the Talen Horton-Tucker question, we talked about that. With Collins good to go, Yeah, it is weird that they started Sochan against Vooch. Maybe they were just trying to dictate the terms a bit and take Vooch out of the game, but it obviously backfired because Vooch had 39 points. Yeah, I don't know if they'll stick with this. I don't know who they play. Let me just have a look. I'm pretty sure they do play tomorrow. They might play Sacramento. Yeah, they do. So they play Sacramento tomorrow, who have obviously Sabonis, and we talked about Jones or whoever. Who are they? I can't even think of his name now. That's good. Sacramento. What's his name? Yeah, Jones. Yeah, Isaac Jones. I'm thinking of Emmanuel, maybe, because we're talking about. So yes, they do have sort of a big sort of traditional lineup. So maybe we do get some Collins tomorrow, but we could also get Wemby back tomorrow. This may have only been a one-game thing. We do live in a world where Jay Crowder is getting more minutes than Keon Ellis. It's, some questionable decisions being made in Sacramento at the moment. Ernest, what does Ernest ask? Should I drop Gafford or Herb in my 12-team, 9-cap redraft league to free up a streaming spot or hold? I mean, if you had to pick one of those to drop, it's probably Gafford, just because he is 18 minutes, where Herb is obviously 30-plus. So there's more opportunity for Herb. But in saying that, like, I think in a just in a standard league, they're probably both top 100 players. So, yeah, you can potentially stream in enough value to cover for a top 100 player, but I do think both are worth holding as well. Unlikely to be able to pull off a 2-for-1. Yeah, you could try, but I do think that they're both still rosterable. Who is the more droppable player for a streaming spot, Champagne or Pajemski? Champagne, for me. I think Pods has been pretty good. He didn't shoot the ball that well tonight, but yes, I thought he played okay. Do we reckon that DeAndre Hunter takes the starting spot, or do they keep running with Zach? Look, if you'd asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have said Hunter, but they're playing pretty well. Ricochet is starting, but only playing 22 minutes, and Hunter's playing more minutes off the bench. So maybe they're just going to treat Hunter as more of a sixth man, along with Bogdanovich. So I don't know. Maybe they are just going to stick with Ricochet here. Okay, so Lundes actually changed his question. So don't worry about Pods. Yeah, okay. So Champagne or Avdija? Probably still Champagne, I think, for me, because Avdija, he's been all right. In a week, it could be Avdija, because we saw him almost, well, he didn't fall out of the rotation, but he went back to sort of minutes in the teens at one point there. Portland are a really weird franchise at the moment. So, yeah, it's still possibly Champagne. Chad is excited for the new show. Yeah, I'm not sure. I didn't really get any people messaging me trades or anything like that. I'm still waiting for Michael Waterloo to confirm with him whether he can do it tomorrow. It was 50-50, so it could be that we actually start it next week. But it was more of me just putting a feeler out to see if people wanted that show. And I think a lot of people seemed interested, but no one had trades for us to talk about. So it's a bit hard to do a trade show when we've got no trades. So we'll see. I'll probably retweet it at some point late tonight for me. So it's in the morning in the States, and we'll see if we get some people. Even if he can't do it, I might just do the show by myself. And then final question from Jonah, 10-team, 9-cat, drop Kuzma for IO. Already used 2 of 4 ads in Yahoo, though. Oh, Kuzma. What a conundrum he is. I don't know. It's a tough one. Like, I do think Dosunmu could be top 100-ish rest of season. His role is pretty good. I mean, he's happy. They like him. Kuzma doesn't look like he wants to be there. He could be traded. Kuzma obviously has the higher upside, because we know he can be a regular or a consistent sort of close to 20 and 10 player, or 20 and 8 with some assists. if I saw Kuzma, I'm just trying to think if I saw Kuzma on my waiver wire, would I prioritize? I don't know. I don't like Kuzma. I'd be okay with that. I think I'd be trying to hold Kuzma, but and this is in a 10-team league. But I'd be okay with that. I don't think, yeah, I'm pretty down on Kuzma at the moment. Yeah, look, that's possible, Chad, saying that people didn't realise I wanted to preload the questions. So, yeah, it could be that if we do a live show, we actually do get some questions. people lack reading comprehension. Well, it could be that. It could just be that it's a lot easier to do it during the live show. So, yeah, look, maybe we will do it tomorrow. I'll probably still be trying to squeeze in a pregame show and also doing I can't think what it's even called now, with Skiddy on the Insight network, doing their sort of pregame show as well. So, yeah, I will see what happens tomorrow, whether I get it up. I'll tweet something out and I'll message Michael right now and see if he is available. He could be in bed, though. Anyway, that will do for today's show. So thanks, everyone, for watching along and all of the questions, as always. I will be back with hopefully a pregame show tomorrow, depending on whether I do the trade show, but should be able to do a postgame show. So that'll do. I'm Adam King. This has been the postgame show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.